How you feeling, Sachiko?
I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm feeling great. You know, this is the first podcast of 2024 that I am recording. We've been out of the studio for a few weeks now. We haven't been in it, and I feel great, and I feel like I'm doing a lot of introspective work, okay? And this is new. It's interesting. And the reason I ask how do I feel and how do you feel is because of this lovely t-shirt that I'm wearing right here. By Sachiko. I have a lot of feelings. I'm a stand-up show for the people.
So do you have a lot of feelings?
I wear my heart on my sleeve. Yeah, I wear my heart on my sleeve. It is very transparent if I am upset, okay? If I am frustrated, if I am happy, if I am miserable, whatever the case may be, I wear my heart on my sleeve. And that is good to a certain extent. You know, but I like it because I don't hide a lot of my feelings. You know, like, I'll cry in front of you if I need to. I don't care. I have no shame at all. So, you know, just there's a bunch of feelings that I've been going through, and it's awesome because it happens. Like, recently I've been taking a lot of nightly walks, okay? I'll take a walk, I'll put on some headphones, and I will just, like, ideas just come pouring in for no reason at all. But it's really, really cool, and it's, like, refreshing to feel this just like bowl of like inspiration, ideas coming out of nowhere, you know, but it's because like I'm on this introspective search, you know, for what is right for me and how to move forward.
Yeah, like almost a journey, an odyssey.
Very, very much so. Very much so. So yeah, that's how I'm feeling. You know, how are you feeling? You know, we got these beautiful weather coming down. We got some snow coming out soon.
I'm pretty excited about the snow.
So am I. And, you know, you were at First Friday yesterday, correct?
I was. I'm feeling pretty good. My friend Jesse was showing at the new Urban Co-Works facility downtown.
Yeah, I've heard a lot.
Yeah, really cool place. You should definitely check it out. They have, like, a lot going on there.
So I hear your first time is free. So I want to make sure that I do something, you know, just to, like, you know, just really utilize that free usage the first go around. Let me ask you, do they have, like, silent rooms in there? Like, soundproof rooms?
So they have, what's the word? They have, like, video chat booths. They're not, like, completely soundproof, but, like, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, WeWorks when they were in New York City. But they were another co-working kind of thing, but they had, like, booths that I remember seeing from images.
I have to check it out. I hear it's a great creative space, you know, a space to just get away and do a lot of work and get, you know, do what you got to do. But at the same token, when I'm home alone and I'm just sitting on a couch, I can do that. Like, I've been able to tune out all the BS and, you know, lock in on the task that's in front of me.
Yeah.
Which is great. Focused. Yeah. It's awesome. Like, I'm getting really, really focused. And I'm telling you guys, we're going to do fantastic things in 2024. And I'm excited. I really am. But with that being said, everyone, welcome to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez. We are joined by the artist Sachiko today. Thank you for joining me here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm really excited to learn about your work, the emotions, everything that goes in behind to your art here. Because, you know, I would listen to other podcasts. I've listened to the What a Week podcast. Shout out What a Week. I've also seen your documentary, you know, and I feel like I was able to answer a lot of my questions through those podcasts and through those documentaries. But, you know, it still generated more, you know, and I just feel like I wanted to express how some of your paintings, you know, they make me feel, because, you know, that's something that it seems that you aim for.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited to hear about, like, your thoughts on the pieces.
Well, first, before we get on that, okay, I think it's very important. I think it's a really cool fact. The importance of Sachiko, the name, you know, where does it come from and what does it mean?
So Sachiko is actually my second middle name. And so when I wanted to start presenting artwork, I felt like a pseudonym would best fit what I was trying to do. I didn't want it to be based on any of my previous career highlights or work that I had done. But yet I still wanted it to be personal to who I am as a person. And so Sachiko is one of my middle names. And in Japanese, it means happiness. And I I think it's kind of interesting because a lot of my work isn't necessarily about happiness, but it's about the journey to find happiness.
I can see that. And also, I feel like, you know, it might not be about the happiness, but your work can bring happiness to other people.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it.
You know, that's the way I, because, you know, I was looking at your work, right? If someone has never seen your work before, the first time I came across it, I didn't know what to make of it. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest. I didn't know what to make of it. I was just staring at it. And I'm like, this is very interesting. I could tell that it takes time and it's not something that, you know, a lot of people do, but there has to be a reason. So I wanted to find a way for myself to step into your mind. How do I step into your mind? Mm-hmm. Right. The way I thought that I could step into your mind is by trying to find the titles of the paintings, mm-hmm. okay? Getting to know who you are a little bit through social media, through videos and everything. I was able to try and correlate my own reason as to why you titled it, and not to mention you also put a memo on most of your work, you know?
Yeah, I try to have the viewers answer a question that I'm asking with the piece as well to help guide the experience.
Exactly. So that's what I appreciated, and that's how I felt like I could try to be on the same playing field and on the same plane that you are and coming from, you know? So that's how I did my research and you know, just, you know, went about my research for you.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. I'm really excited.
Look right here. Collection titles help me take a step inside your mind. that's what it says. So let's just start out with some of the collection titles. Some of them that I picked out. The first one that I picked out was Reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Reflection. Do you happen to have that here with
I
you?
I do.
Fantastic. She has it here with her. Reflection. Okay. Reflection. What did I write about reflection? Reflection. Looks like a moon, you know, the shine from the moon is in between a body of water.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw with reflection. And then I don't think I screenshotted, or maybe I did, the meaning of what you put under it, but would you happen to know what you put under it as far as?
Yeah, so I can definitely tell you what this piece means to me.
Yeah, I would love to.
You're right on board with the, like, almost moon reflecting on the water. When I was creating this piece, I was really reflecting on who I was as a person and how I wanted to be remembered. So for me, like, kindness is really important, mm-hmm. and empathy. And so, like, for this piece, you see a lot of softness to it and thoughtfulness compared to, like, some of my other pieces where they're very bold and bright and making statements.
Yes, I agree. I do like this. I love seeing the work that you put in when you do the time lapse on your social media.
Yeah.
Okay. And to see, so I challenged myself the other day when I was looking at you doing the time lapse of this style. What would you call this style of art? Because you do a lot of, what do we call them? Dots? Shades? What do we?
Yeah.
You know?
So for me, like, it's almost a play on pointillism, but like an abstract play on that.
Okay.
It very much so this year, I revisited this concept with my blurry collections and experimentation and just like looking at the world out of focus. And it's kind of a way to give more description to my abstract work without making it realism.
I like that. So you were saying that this is more of a kinder piece for you, right? What were the emotions involved in creating this piece with reflection? And that's why I brought the book as well, mm-hmm. because I felt like at one point, and I was trying to find it, but I felt like during my research, I felt that at one point I heard you say that you feel closely connected to the ocean, to water.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong for saying that?
No. So you're right. My okay. first collection that I put out since revisiting artwork was my water collection, which was a bunch of abstract works inspired by Hawaii. That's where I was born. And so with that, like, I just find a lot of calmness and peace in water, where a lot of times my anxiety or depression may make life feel chaotic. Water kind of brings balance and calmness.
And a reflection for mm-hmm. you to stare at, you know, and it's purity, as you said. And that's why I brought this book, because I remember hearing that, reading that, and I just, you know, I read this book whenever I get a chance. And no, honestly, I try to read it every day. But when things align, it really bugs me out.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, I remember hearing that with the water collection, And then reading this next passage here, it's titled Nature as a Teacher. Mm-hmm. This is The Creative Act of Way of Being by Rick Rubin. Told you guys, if you haven't gotten it, check it out. Pretty good book. But the last passage here, right, it goes, there's a reason we are drawn to gazing at the ocean. It is said the ocean provides a closer reflection of who we are than any mirror, okay? The ocean provides a closer reflection of who we are than any mirror. And then I was like, damn. I was like, that's crazy.
It is. Well, I feel like you can reflect and see your own reflection in water, but yet water's so emotional.
And I feel like water, because it's not consistent at times, you know, it's emotional. Damn, you got it. Yeah. No, the calm at sea, yeah. You know, the ocean is roaring.
Weathering a storm.
Yes, exactly. And it can convey a different reflection. It's the same person. It's the same you. But based on the emotion of the water can, you know, help you find or help you realize a different state of mind. I don't know
like
how to put it into words.
Yeah. Yourself, a different element.
Thank you. Yeah. I was fumbling on how to put it into context.
No, you had it there, man.
And put it into words, man. I really needed that. So then the next one that I picked out was insomnia.
Yeah.
Insomnia, right?
Can you relate to that?
Yeah. You know, not so much. I can't relate to it, but I can understand the relationship to insomnia. Or to being an insomniac when I look at this.
Yeah.
Okay, because I immediately thought, okay, if I was an insomniac and I had insomnia, when it was time to go to bed, my brain would just continuously be trying to find a way to not shut down. And it can be, you know, projected as a spiral. Yeah. and like just
never ending.
Exactly. And this piece right here, the title, just basically helped me take a step inside your mind.
Yeah.
All right. Do you experience insomnia?
Yeah, I struggle with sleeping. I go through like waves where like sometimes it comes easy, but sometimes I'll just sit and stare at a ceiling. And for this piece, that was inspired by one of those times where I couldn't sleep and my mind just kept going. And it's almost like the thoughts don't stop and they're racing into this endless tunnel. Yep. So, yeah.
How do you combat your insomnia? What has helped you?
To be honest, meditation. Mm. I started meditating last year a couple times a week, and it really helps provide clarity and helps to just be able to fall asleep compared to like all of my thoughts racing through my mind of the day and what I did and what I didn't do.
Do you mind me asking how long this piece took you to create?
Most of my pieces go anywhere from 4 weeks to, I had one piece I worked on for about 6 months. So it really just depends. This piece specifically, I want to say it was about 4 to 8 weeks to create.
So 4 to 8 weeks, right? How do you try to keep the same message and emotion within the same work of art, even if you're not dealing with that current emotion at that time?
So for me, before I paint, especially like a piece like this, I'll put myself in the mindset, thinking about what it feels like and almost creating that mental environment for myself to really focus in on what I'm trying to express. And so that like you as the viewer can experience that type of emotion or experience that I go through without being able to sleep.
You have to embody that and as you said, put yourself in that mind state. And that can be difficult at times because, you know, there's a lot of raw emotion within each piece of work that you do. And I remember hearing, I believe it was in a documentary. Documentary is fantastic. We're going to talk about that, but you guys really got to check this out. But in the documentary, you were speaking about how there were weeks upon weeks upon weeks that you would revisit a project and you would be sobbing over that same project.
Yes.
Throughout the entirety of the creation until yeah. It's its final product.
It can definitely have a mental toll, like reliving that. But it's almost cathartic at the end once it's completed. It's almost off of my chest as a person, and I can move on more easily because it's out there and I've gotten all of the feelings and like for some pain or excitement, it's all out, so you don't have to like bottle it up anymore.
That's immaculate, you know, to just be able to, it's immaculate for anybody to be able to find a form of expression that helps you, you know, express yourself even in the dark times, confusing times, like having a problem, maybe, you know, such as insomnia, you know, it can be a confusing thing at first. You know, it's like, why? Like, why is this happening to me?
Draining, too.
Draining, yes, as well. We've had one member on the show who was the opposite of an insomniac. What's the word I'm looking for?
Narcoleptic.
Yes. Yeah, he would crash and he would just, shout out Johnny Ock. But he would just go to sleep and he'd be like, Kev, I'd be asleep for like hours upon hours upon hours, and then like I'll wake up and I'll like still be tired, and I'm like, that's scary.
That's awful.
I'm blessed and fortunate enough to not be experiencing anything like that, but as I said, I do appreciate this piece, Insomnia. It's a fantastic piece. Is there anything you want to add on to it before we...
No, I think we covered everything. If you want to check it out, you can check out the piece on my website and read a little more about it.
For sure. And there's a lot of documentaries, writing pieces that people have done for you. And it's great to be able to just know who the artist is behind the work, because that's where you will really find out what all of this means to you.
Yeah, and I've been so grateful and fortunate to be able to be connected to so many platforms, like you said, What a Week podcast,
yep.
And On the Stacks.
On the Stack,
another
yep.
one. But even here, like just to be able to share what I do and have more people connect is really amazing.
You are doing it on a fantastic level. The way you and I connected is I took a trip to 570 Exotics.
Such good snacks.
Yes, such good snacks. And Drew, he had a few of your portraits on the shelves. And I was like, those look really nice. And he's like, oh, yeah, dude, you got to check her out. He's like, you got to check her out and get him on a podcast and figure it out, you know. And I was like, all right, cool. And that's how this all happened.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Just like all connections. Drew is such a good guy. And if you haven't checked out his shop, you definitely should.
And we did a vlog there as well, so make sure you check that out as well. You know, we did a gentleman's bet. You know, we're, like I said, guys, 2024, we're getting into the vlog game. So with that being said, the next one I want to talk about, which Michael already ruined my talking point on it, or one of it, is a piece titled Human. That big one is huge. I'm going to have to help you out with that big one. Is that it? All right. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Check it out. Human. Okay.
Yes.
Human.
It's one of the bigger ones.
The question posed on the under it is, what makes you human? What makes you human? Mm-hmm. Could you answer that question?
So I can, but I want to hear what you think.
You
want
to hear what I
first.
Have to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does it mean to you first?
Okay. You know what? I'm going to skip in my notes a little bit, but we're going to get back to it. Okay. So what does it mean to be human? I think to be human means to be present in the moment and to also be kind to your brothers and sisters, whether or not they're blood or not. That's what I believe to be human is. If you have ill intention, then, you know, you might be a monster. Just put it that way. Okay. So that's how I feel. That's how I feel as to what it means to be human, especially a big emphasis on that be present part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Be present. Be in that moment. Be submerged in the conversation. Be submerged in the situation that you have going on. Really try to experience it with all five senses mm-hmm. that we have, you know. That to me is what it means to be human.
Very interesting. So I love how you talked about that kindness. And so for me, this piece really touches on how as humans, we can sometimes be divided by our differences and forget that we're really all the same. We're just speaking louder about opinions or views, but at the end of the day, what really makes us different?
Not a single thing.
Yeah, we're all just human.
Yeah, we're all just human. We're all just human. We're all here trying to be one, all on the same planet, all in it together. You know, like, you know, it brings me back to watching a TV series, Band of Brothers. In that TV series, they were, it's a war,
mm-hmm.
a war
yeah.
series, if you haven't seen it. But there was a young soldier who was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you can see the guilt on the American soldier's face to like, wow, this person's the same age as I am, and he probably doesn't even want to fight just as much as I don't want to be here. But we're here because we are told to do something. And to that right there, it really helped you understand that, yeah, we're all human. It's all the same thing. We all hurt the same. We all are happy the same, you know, but
we all feel.
We all feel. And, you know, to hear that someone is numb, I've heard that twice, that someone's like numb. You know, they've lost that sense of touch, a sense of feeling. And I hope to never have to go through such a traumatic experience to be disconnected with my own soul at that point, mm-hmm. you know, to not be able to feel anything, to not be able to feel like there's no one out there that can love you is heartbreaking. Yeah. It's not something I experienced, so I can't speak on it firsthand, but I'd feel for the people who have that. It baffles me every single time. I'm just like, how, you know, like, how was it that bad? And I guarantee their reasons are validated. I just don't. It's just mind-boggling to me to just know that there's people out there dealing with that, mm-hmm. you know? So, human. Michael here talked about a skeleton. And ironically, I thought I saw a skeleton face as well.
That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's really wasn't it down in this
Yeah,
vicinity?
It's down in the lower area. Yeah. So I had never seen it like that. A lot of my paintings I create so that you can see them two different ways compositionally, one under regular light and one under black light. But now that you're seeing that skull there, it's really like...
It's freaky, right?
It's freaking my mind out, yeah.
Universe works in mysterious ways. It was supposed to happen. That skull was supposed to be there. Somehow you were supposed to name it human, and then we were both supposed to see that there's a what appears to be a skull. You know, it's all, what's the word I'm looking
subjective.
For?
Subjective.
Yes, it's all subjective. So, you know, you might see a skull, someone else might see something else. But Michael and I both saw a skull.
But what matters is you still find a way to connect to the piece.
And that is probably the most rewarding part for you.
Absolutely.
Perfect. All right, let's bring this one down. Fantastic. That's massive.
Yeah, luckily that's the biggest one here today.
Then I have Scene.
Okay.
Scene is next. And Scene, is this the second time it's made it out the house? Because I remember seeing or hearing a podcast, I think it was on a Stax, that Jamie convinced you to bring this out of the house for the first time.
No, so that's a different one.
Oh, okay.
This one does come out of the house a couple of times.
Okay.
It's been in a couple of shows locally, one at the Abington Library and then one at Little Wild Refillery. Shout out Little Wild Refillery on Washington Street. They're amazing.
I haven't been there. I'm going to have to check it out.
Oh, you definitely do. It's a zero waste refillery shop. So instead of buying like your typical bottles of soap in a plastic bottle, you just go there and refill.
Oh.
And it like helps impact the environment. Brittany's amazing, and she's super supportive of the art community as well.
I'm going to have to make my way out there one day for certain. We love that, especially because it's good for the planet. Okay, so Scene here, Scene, all right? I immediately, as soon as I saw the title, I felt like I could understand what the whole piece was about, okay? Mm-hmm. Hearing your story, hearing that it was, you know, difficult to come out for your family, for everyone who supported you. There were a few, some that left, some that stayed around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you were seen, and you're seen. There's a whitewash, guys. It's a whitewash right in front of it. You see this, okay? Behind that whitewash, you know, that whitewash was probably your previous life, you know, the life that wasn't all you,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then as you went along your journey, you were slowly but surely appearing through the white fog.
That's awesome, dude. I'm really, really glad you connect to that part of the piece. Yeah, very much seen. You can almost take it as it is. For me, being someone of the LGBTQ plus community, I have experienced some of the best experiences from the community and some of the worst that you can have. For me, like you had mentioned, my coming out story is one of the more sad ones, but this piece celebrates being able to overcome that and how much the community has overcome as a whole to be seen and valued. And so It's just a celebration.
The community's come a long way. That's for certain. You know, the events, just how we move forward. You know, on the What a Week podcast, he was asking you some pretty tough questions about the community, trying to understand the community for himself, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did appreciate that portion of the podcast. I really did.
Yeah. Margie's such a good dude.
Easy. Yeah, I'm gonna have to link up with you, Margie. Check it out. One day we're gonna tap in. Scene. And this is one of those pieces that definitely speaks to you and, you know, just is very close to you. And you made it in May 2022.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love that. And is there anything you want to add on this one?
I just hope that other people who might not feel valued and seen know that people see you.
People see you. Not everyone's a mean person. We're all kind, hopefully. And so with that, after that, we have the one that I really wanted to get into because it made me so curious just seeing what it was. It was the no collection.
Yeah. So it's funny you bring that up. So that's the lost collection is what the whole collection in entirety is. But there are a number of 14 pieces that ask... they were created at the end of a year asking big personal questions about who someone is as a person and how they see the world, and very introspective, like you were saying before, introspective questions.
So may I ask why you chose, you said it was a lost collection. Mm-hmm. So elaborate on that. I'm not too sure as to what you mean by that.
So, the collection as a whole of the 14 works, mm-hmm, is titled Lost Collection.
Okay.
But each work within the collection is numbered.
Oh, I'm sitting here saying no one. It's number one.
It
is that right?
It is.
There you go, Kev. Way to be educated. That's perfect. Okay, so the Lost Collection. So the Lost Collection, it represents... It represents just questions that you ask yourself, you know, very introspective questions. And you would say that at that point you were lost.
I was feeling lost at the end of the year, trying to prepare for 2023 and what was to come and the type of mindset I wanted. Did I want to focus on personal growth? Who did I want to be? Just like... big picture questions, mm-hmm, that one asks themselves internally.
Do you feel like you've answered some of those questions while creating the pieces?
100%.
Yes.
Yeah. I definitely think creating helps me process these things that go through my head, because at the end of the day, all of the questions that are related to the pieces are questions I'm asking myself while creating. Mm-hmm. So at the end, I always want some type of resolution to what that thought was.
Gotcha. Yeah, I saw some of the questions which I wrote for. This is number 12. I didn't get the question for number 12, but do you have that on hand?
Who am I?
Who am I? Okay. See, there we go. I think this wire is dying. May I see this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who am I? Okay. I'm trying to... see how I can put myself in your shoes as you're creating this, or even just put it to use for myself, you know. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of chaos. I see a lot of chaos. But then there is also like a patch of calm. Okay. And, mm-hmm, and when I say chaos, guys, I'm dissecting the bottom half of this, but then I see the calm right here. Who am I? A mixture of colors. Okay. So I'm all types of things. I wear many hats. Slight orange and red. Okay. And orange and red. What do those colors mean to you? Yeah, let's just start with orange and red. Do those colors have meaning to you, for you?
So for me, they could mean passion, but they can also mean anger. They can mean drives. So like from this piece, my biggest takeaway is that I'm a complex person, but I'm still growing.
Okay. Complex. Okay. I can see that. I can see that. And I do want to ask you a lot about the colors and the color choices. You know, you just said red and orange, you know, drive, anger, but also passion. How about green? What do you see in green? What does green feel for you? Maybe even white. If you could just elaborate, because you do have a wide range of colors and that you use in on majority of your work. And then there are some that are monochromatic. I learned that word from listening to you.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. But, you know, as I said, a lot of your pieces do include an abundance of colors, guys, an abundance. So what are your favorite colors and what do they mean to you pretty much?
So my favorite colors, I tend to use a lot of green. Green is a very calming color for me and something that I've always felt like closely attached to if I were to pick a specific color. Mm-hmm. So you'll see a lot of my pieces that do have multiple color palettes tend to have a green hue in them. But when I'm using all the colors, I'm just trying to show the complexities that emotions may have or people have, that at the end of the day, we're not just black and white. There's depth. There's feeling.
Yes. Well, going right back to the feelings as always. So this was Who Am I? Number 12 was Who Am I? Mm-hmm. I have 1, 2, and 3 that I really enjoyed, black and gold. You know, we'll overlay them. So the first one, number 1, was Where Do You Begin? Where do you begin? And I was really interested because I haven't seen a lot of black and gold within your work, black, gold, and white. But those first three, you know, starting off with 1, it really had a lot of that color, black and gold. So why did you choose those colors to start off the Where Do You Begin? Why did you choose those two? Or excuse me, 3.
Yeah. So for those 3 pieces, I wanted to have a simpler color palette so that what I was trying to express would be more clear, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So like in the beginning, you don't start with everything. You start with a few and then you grow and build upon that.
Brilliant. I see that now. Okay. So that's where you began your journey with this. And when you created this collection, was it kind of like a month by month type of collection? How often did you find yourself? Because you said you did this within a year, you know, and it seems that you did it in the year 2022 on to 2023. Was it a spaced out collection?
If I recall correctly, I believe this collection was made in the last 3 months of the year. So all 14 paintings were made in that short time period. During that year, I had done several collections. So when I create, I usually have multiple pieces going on and building upon that. So like I'll do
your art room must be
I'll do like long sessions, but doing parts on like different pieces all at once for one collection.
Wow. Okay, yeah, you know, your art room must be, like, insanely covered. Jamie, what do you say? Yes? She agrees. Thank you for being in the building. So number 2, what do I need most? What do I need most? You know, and so you said you did these in the last 14, right? We'll just say 14, no. 9 weeks, 3 months, the last 3 months of 2022 going into 2023. Do you feel like this experiment, this collection here set you up for a lot of the goals that you wanted to aim for in 2023?
I think it helped me start the year with a clearer mind. Even though 2023 kind of took a bit of a turn for me personally, I think having this collection and thinking about these big questions I was asking myself at that time helped build the growth that I saw over the course of the entire year. So for sure.
Awesome. And did you do anything like that for 2023 going into 2024?
No. So I didn't do this type of concept, but I did do a small group of pieces. At the end of the year, I had some time off and spent some time creating for that, as well as working on some new collections that I'll be showing this year.
Love that. You're always working. And I just want to say that your social media is vibrant. It's
thank you.
I really enjoyed it. And I'm like, you know, has the algorithm found you yet? Come on now, like algorithm finder. Cause yeah. like cooking all the time. Like
I'm trying.
You do a fantastic job with the time lapse, you know, showing the people the process, the creation process. You know, and then just putting up the piece and asking that question, you know, short, sweet, straight to the point. Let it be observe for what it is, you know, mm-hmm. Let the people answer the questions, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what you're doing. And you're doing a fantastic job with that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Of course. Of course. Make sure you guys check it out. The Artist of Chico. Check out the Middleman Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe. We appreciate you watching. Fantastic year in 2024. Episode 98 on the road to episode 100.
Wow. High five.
On the road to episode 100. You
so
know?
Close, man.
First Friday coming up. Stay tuned. I told you guys, we got something going on. It's brewing. You know, we're going to put it on the social media. It's going to be everywhere. I expect to see you there. So earlier I mentioned the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the documentary, it was documented by Ethan Green.
Yes. Okay. Fantastic guy.
Great work.
He owns a company called Mav. You should check them out.
Okay.
On Instagram. He does a lot of filming for musicians, alternative sports and stuff like that. He's such a great artist.
I think he did a fantastic job at producing it, directing it, putting it all together. Who was the person to ask you the questions?
Anne.
Okay.
She's a part of a local band called Altered Pink. Also, check them out.
Shout out.
But yeah, they came together and came to my apartment, and we just like talked art for a couple of sessions.
Yeah.
Created, got really vulnerable.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
It was a process.
I took a lot from that documentary. I really think that the source of my work and research came a lot from that documentary, because I watched it twice, listened to it once. Mm-hmm. So a total of three times, you know, just kept listening and trying to observe and understand, because as you said, it was a very vulnerable moment for you. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote some notes, you know, just like, okay, like Sachiko, like who is she? What does she do? So I have here, you try to create art for people who have emotions bottled up. You try to help them realize that they're not alone,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we did touch upon that earlier, because being alone is not something that is a pleasant feeling, and you have experienced that firsthand.
It can get really dark too.
Mm-hmm. It can get extremely dark. And, you know, to just hear that, you know, you have found the light within your work, even still working through the trauma, you know, as it's traumatic, but it's also therapeutic for you, mm-hmm. to create these pieces. And to be a mess, you know, I mean that in the nicest way possible, while creating a piece like this is like, it's got to be a balance, because as you said, it could take a toll on your mental health,
yeah.
you know, to push through something that is so heartbreaking and breathtaking to you, you mm-hmm. know, just to get the final product out, you know, and that's what just, you know, did it happen that way? Did it just naturally come to you that way, that it just, your emotions just spewed all over the canvas?
So, I mean, for me, I've always created, but this resurgence during COVID, when I really started putting some deep-rooted feelings that I had held on to and stuff that I was processing at the time, I had to come to terms with the fact that I could either be honest and let it all out, and that means getting very vulnerable and reliving some dark parts that you might not want to relive, or I could stay and not grow. And so at that turning point, I chose to be vulnerable and to share my story in the hopes that maybe somebody would connect with it.
How has this journey helped you grow socially?
I mean, as a person, I feel like I've grown and come to terms with who I am, what I can change, what I can't change. And then in my dark moments, I have better tools to process. But I've also found like wonderful friends in sharing artwork. And I've met new people like you, like Drew. And I just feel like life has grown.
Good, good. That's what we want to hear. You know, each and every day, you just want to grow and move forward. And, you know, you just said it's helped you meet people and connect with them. And that's something I've written here. I was like, do you feel like opening, do you feel like people open up to you easily when they are, well, now as compared to in the past? Do you feel like people just open up to you? And that's a real thing, because I will share my experience, but do you feel like people open up to you? Do you feel like people show their vulnerability towards you?
That's a good question. I feel like the fact that I'm willing to be vulnerable first creates environments where people feel more comfortable to share. What about you?
I've been told time and time again, it's Kev, I don't know why I'm telling you all this, you know, but, like I just met you.
No, I get the feeling. Yeah.
You know,
you just make a connection, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what it is, within me, that helps me be able to have that, connection with other people. I don't think for me, it's vulnerability. I think for me, it is authenticity. I think that's what it is. I'm very blunt and straight to the point, and I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, but I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. You know, back to, I wear the heart on my sleeve.
Yeah.
You know, I can, you know, with that being told, you can tell if I'm really interested. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, really? Really? Wow. Wow. And be BSing that. Like, I'm going to be as genuine as possible and really show my true emotions. So I feel like that's why people open up to me. And it's confusing. It is. It really is. It's like, why me? I ask myself that all the time.
Because you're comfortable being yourself and you're comfortable in who you are.
Thank you. Thank you. I can understand that answer, you know, and it took a while for me to get to that point, you know, especially with physical appearance and something as small as the gap in between my teeth. You know, now I'm walking around town doing this all day. Like, I used to hate that when I'd be talking to me like, hey, what do you want? You know, it's just like, I used to hate that. Now I embody it and I'm like, yeah, well, it's who I am, you know, and
you've embraced it.
Yeah, I erased it as a negative thought, and I chose to, because I feel like I'm very goofy, and that helps me. That's a part of my character. Goofy, right? Goofy from Disney. He has a gap in his teeth. He ain't getting no braces, right? Goofy. So that's how I feel. And when people open up to you, right? How would you describe that experience?
I feel like you connect. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. Like, especially when people feel comfortable enough to be vulnerable and let you into a part of themselves that, like, they might not share with everybody else. Like, that's a great honor as a person. And so I just try to embrace that and feel blessed.
It's an honor. I have written here that for you, it must feel like a reward. A huge reward, you know, to be able to make a connection off of art, off of true emotion. And for the viewer, for the person who you're speaking to, it is therapeutic for them. Rewarding for you, therapeutic for them. You know, it's a therapy session.
Yeah, I like that.
That's the way I see it. What sparks a notion to start creating for you? Do you have things that you've noticed, you know, maybe some patterns that help you spark an idea for a new piece?
So, you know how at the beginning of the podcast, you said you were going on walks and you were thinking and very introspective. I'm very much like that a lot of the times. I'll have a notebook with me or even on my phone, keep notes of ideas or thoughts that are going through that I think would be a good piece. And then when I'm working on new collections, I may revisit that or... currently, I'm working on a concept that's very collaborative that isn't necessarily driven by my idea, but something another artist created.
Well, what is that? What is that? Let's talk about that, because I think I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, so I'm working on a new collection for a show later this year inspired by songs written by artists from NEPA.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so during that process, I listen to the song on repeat, get in the mindset, try to feel what that artist may be trying to communicate or were experiencing when they wrote the song, to create this very collaborative visual piece.
So I've been, as we referred to in the beginning of the podcast about these walks that you and I take, right? I've been finding that in these walks, I'm always listening to music, always mm-hmm. listening to music, but I've been trying to find a way to find silence and stillness within the music, okay? And what I mean by that is by just hearing the music, but also trying to be aware of everything outside the music, you know, like the truck passing by, just what's going on. And that's what I'm saying is that when I kind of just go, it's stillness, it's silence. Like my mind is at peace. I'm kind of focused on the music, but I'm kind of not, because ideas tend to just come. And then I'm like, okay, great. Write it down. I did that last night. For our show, you know, just to do some walks by myself and just really think, you know, so when you create paintings, I saw that in the documentary, you do listen to a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sometimes find it's peace, meditation mm-hmm. for me? Do you sometimes find like silence, stillness within the music while the headphones are in?
I find that I lose time.
Okay.
I don't know if you've experienced that. And like, it very much sounds similar in the silence and peace that you experience. It's almost like time stops for me in that meditative state. And I'm just being and in whatever human. I'm feeling. Yeah.
Being human. Yeah. You're being present.
Exactly. You know, present. That's present. A great way to say it.
And I think that is exactly what's happening to me when I go on these walks. Like, yeah, I know that sounds weird, right? Putting on headphones, listening to music, and finding silence in music. You know, I'm finding silence in the outside noise that, you know, I am not, that I'm accustomed to hearing without headphones in. I'm finding silence. I'm finding a disconnection from that. The noise that I hear on a 25/8 scale, and that allows me to try and, well, it just allows the ideas to flow. I don't even try, it just allows them to flow.
It allows your creativity to flow.
And it's weird. It's so weird, but I'm loving it. You know, this, that's why I'm feeling great, guys. I'm feeling very innovative. I'm feeling just in tune. You
2024
know?
Is going to be a great year, man.
That's the goal. Like, whoo, man, did we work? Mike, did we work? Did we work in 2023? Yes, he's nodding his head, guys. He's nodding. We worked hard. And we're going to work even harder in 2024. So I'm excited for that. Okay, I wanted to talk to you about, as I said, the monochromatic. You taught me that phrase, that term.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few pieces that you do that are monochromatic. And for the people who don't know what monochromatic is, to my understanding, is just a selection of one color. Mm-hmm. Basically mono, one color.
And then using different hues within that color.
What do you mean by hues?
So, I mean, there's tons of different greens.
Okay.
You could see green grass, green trees. Mm-hmm. So it's just by using colors all within that green color palette or red to express depth, which can be really difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what emotions are you usually feeling when you are, you know, doing a monochromatic piece? Because it more so consists of one color, but as you said, many different hues of that color.
Yeah. A lot of my monochromatic collections are done intentionally, almost as a challenge to myself. Like you said, I tend to use a lot of colors to express things. And sometimes I realize that you don't need to be that bold and that one color can say a lot and more than just one thing.
I can see that, especially with the different, I like the hues. You're learning me already. Thank you.
Happy to help.
You're teaching me words, and I've been writing a lot of words as well. I'm trying to get better. I learned what miasma was. Like, not miasma, but it's miasma, a different word. Anyway, I swear, man. I'm just learning. I'm learning everywhere. So, yeah, with the monochromatic pieces, being able to – that's good because it's a challenge. You know, you like to challenge yourself, and you like to do something, as you said, less bold. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's still very much so takes a lot of time and practice too.
Yeah, and it helps with growth a lot, because sometimes we just get caught up in all of the outside noise. And I really feel like my monochrome pieces help to zero in on things that are maybe more important than the noise around.
Yep. Silence. There it is once again. Silence, my friends. And then the end of that documentary, that's where she got extremely vulnerable. And with that being said, check it out. Watch it to see what happens, because, you know, your story there, it's heartfelt, you know, to have those people, to have those humans being human and just giving someone a hand, although they owed you nothing, you know, that's a great story, you know, and it's good to hear that there are people out there, you know,
there are kind people out there.
They're just, I enjoy when I'm walking down the street. This happened to me the other day. I was walking down the street and someone walked out the building, older gentleman, and he was just giving me, he said, "I'm giving you oranges, son. I'm giving you oranges." That's what he told me. And I'm like, okay, you know, but he just said, walked up. He said, "How you doing today?" And he just told me his story, bro. And he, crazy story, this guy. He's like, "I'm just giving you oranges, pal. I'm just giving you oranges. You have a good day." And I really appreciated that guy, you know, walking by and making me pause my music and take a headphone out and hear what he had to say, because he was much older. And the words that he described, you know, it didn't really play in my life at this current moment, but I could still appreciate that human to human interaction right there.
And with connection.
Yeah, he doesn't even know who I am. I don't know who he is. Probably never got his name. What? Yeah, I'd be like, "Oh, you were the guy giving me oranges, weren't you?" Speaking about oranges, before we talk about, speaking about giving people stuff, let's talk about what we have here, guys. Ooh, we have something that, you know, we want to do a giveaway. So Chico is going to be very kind and, go ahead.
So I got one of my original works on paper that we're going to do a little giveaway for. So be sure to stay tuned and check out how you can win.
Check it out. Social media. Would you like to describe the piece for people?
So this was created probably just before I had done the Lost Collection, and really just wanted to play with color and experiment a little bit more than I typically do. So, like, you can see a lot of oranges in this piece, but very much relate back to the Lost Collection's color palettes.
I see nature within that. I see nature within that. I see, like, water for some reason. Like, I see water running along rocks, right? And in, like, some, maybe it's fall, you know, and the leaves are orange, you know, because they fall. And the green is just the moss.
That's
like a rushing, rushing water.
Like down a mountain.
Exactly. Yep. Very much so. That's what I see there.
That's amazing.
That's what I see there. What do you see? What do you see? Make sure you guys check out the video on social media, you know, to see how you can win a chance to win this giveaway here. So Chico, you are a fantastic person. You are a light, wonderful soul. Your emotions, whether they were dark, you know, have brought you into the light, and you still keep them with you, but they drive you forward, you know, and I really appreciate you coming out and joining me here on the Middleman Podcast.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much for the kind words. They really, really mean a lot.
Of course. Is there anything that you want to add for the people before we get off the air here? We're going to switch over into tea time, so stick around for that.
Just to anybody out there who's an artist, keep creating and keep pushing.
Keep it going. 2024, it's the start of the new year. Don't stop, can't stop, won't stop. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out. Peace.